Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Back on the Fan, time to hit you with the crown topic of the day. BT, we started 2 hours ago talking about the number two seed New York Knicks. Now, I would never say that they should lose games on purpose. I'm just not a believer in tanking, whether it's for a better pick, whether it's for a, you know, what they deem a better matchup. However, the Knicks were rewarded with the two seed 50-win season with facing potentially two of the tougher teams in the first round with the Sixers or the Heat, and I don't like those matchups for the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not a conventional 2-7 matchup. Generally, your two seed, you're just going to, all right, let's show up and let's stay healthy. Maybe they'll win the opponent, win one game on their home floor, and we'll wait back up and we'll shut them out in five and keep it moving to the second round here. But, you know, these Knicks, I think the way they are, and this works for them, they just don't do anything easy. Whether it's by design or whether it's by circumstances they can't control, they aren't just as resilient and as tough a team as we have. I'm not saying that they're the most talented. I mean, the Yankees have more talent. Rangers might have more talent. You know, we'll see what the Jets do with Rodgers, but they are, I mean, they're everything that we want from our teams. So I understood there was a thought over the weekend, well, you know, maybe this is the smoother road. Nonsense. Let Miami and Philly beat each other up. They'll play their behinds off. And yeah, listen, where the chips fall, we'll pick them up and we'll either host Philly or we'll host the Heat. If it's Philly, it's Embiid. If it's Miami, it's Butler and a better coach and some demons of the past. Let's go. Yeah, Knicks will be ready.
You're supposed to be. I'm not doubting that the Knicks will be ready, although I am doubting that they would beat the 76ers. You're supposed to be rewarded with the first round. You win the two seed, it's supposed to be a big deal. Like then let's not celebrate getting the two seed because it really doesn't mean anything anymore in today's NBA, right? Because if you're the two seed and you're facing a team that really shouldn't be a seven seed, then what's the benefit of getting the two seed?
That's a good point. Listen, but those are things you can't really control. Well, I mean, I guess you can if you just said, hey, we're going to go out there and going to rest our guys.
Yeah, but that's stupid. Like every other team does, though. I mean,
yeah, yeah, but that's not us, and that's why we're not the most talented team, but that's why we're a special team. That's why we love this team. Like, there's been other Knick teams, certainly the 90s, and even the little flash in COVID with Randall. We're like, all right, finally back in the playoffs and, you know, out of the basketball graveyard here. But this team has done this all year. I mean, players going down, new bodies coming in, integrating those new bodies into the rotation, the Villanova chemistry, Brunson seemingly every week taking another step up the mountain. I mean, you know, I don't know how many players in the NBA are absolutely at this point better than Jalen Brunson, but it ain't many. It's just not. Now, one of them probably Embiid. And that's fine. Maybe. You know, it's hard to do guard center.
All right,
you know,
let me ask you this way, and we'll get back to the calls in a second. 877-337-6666. Because off of that point, if you could have ranked the teams fully 100% healthy in the Eastern Conference, where are you putting? You know, you obviously go Celtics one. Who's 2, 3, 4 in your mind?
When you say fully healthy, does that include Randall or no?
Yeah.
Okay, fully healthy.
Although, it's you could include Randle because I'd just be curious, but like it really doesn't matter because
I'll do it without Julius Randle since he's not playing. Because I actually, you know, we were going through this with Spike before, the Sixers apologist. I mean, pardon me, the big Sixers fan. And I actually agree with him, and I've said this, you know, to you. I think that the Knicks are better without Randle. I know that that's blasphemous. I know it's disrespectful. It's not meant to be. I just want to just back that up real fast.
We disagree there, but whatever. That's not the point of the conversation.
I know.
Right, so going into the postseason now, as it stands, with everybody fully healthy the way that they are right now, forget the actual seeding, how would you rank them right now?
Okay, so is Giannis healthy? Because I need to know that.
Yeah, I mean,
Okay, so Giannis is playing and Giannis is good.
He's playing, right? He's not out?
Yeah. But, I mean, is he healthy?
Yeah.
I would say assuming that Giannis is Giannis, Celtics, Bucks, but I actually think that the Knicks could compete and maybe beat the Bucks even with Giannis.
No, right, but I'm just talking about ranking the teams.
Celtics, Bucks, I can't do the Cavaliers, I can't do the Magic, I can't do the Pacers.
Right.
It really comes down to, I think this Knicks team is better than Miami. I'm not sure that they're better than Philly. I would say Celtics, Bucks, and then the Knicks and Philly flip a coin.
And that's exactly the point. Yeah. We don't need to really go any further. Think about what you just said. That's the problem. And then people say, oh, Sal, you're scared. No, I'm not scared. The reality is that you could argue the Knicks, as a 2 seed, are going to be facing a team that's better than they are in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and you say that that's the problem. Well, make sure it doesn't become a problem. Play well. And here's where I think maybe we disagree a little bit. Like, if the Knicks play the way they've been playing, they're going to win the series. In my opinion, if Brunson has an appreciable drop-off, then we're dead. If DiVincenzo is not shooting the way he has all year, they're dead. If Josh Hart is ineffective, then they're probably dead. You know, they cannot suffer a big drop-off. But then again, neither can the Sixers with Tyrese Maxey. So I just think it's very close. I get what you're saying. But also, hey, what do you think the Heat fans were saying back in the day when the Knicks went to the finals as the 8 seed, when Miami was 1, the Knicks were 8? Who got to the NBA finals? The Knicks. Now, the Knicks didn't beat the Spurs, and they could have played them 1,000 times. They weren't beating the Spurs with that team and Popovich and a banged-up Ewing, and that was obviously a Knick team that had transitioned away from Patrick and more into Spree and Camby and Houston. But they were literally the 8 seed. What do you think Miami was sitting there saying? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the reward. What we get for being the 1 seed? It happens. Deal with it.
Yeah, and look what happened.
And look what happened. I know.
I mean, that's part of the issue. So, yeah, look, we're going to enjoy the series, whoever it may be. I'll be rooting like hell for Miami. I want Miami because I just don't think the Sixers would be a good matchup for this Knicks team. One thing if you face them in the second round.
Yeah.
But to face them right out of the gate.
Why is it one thing? You can either beat them or you can't.
Well, because they're good enough. Like, this would be arguably the second round matchup anyway.
Yes.
Let's say the Sixers were a 3 seed, or I guess the Knicks would be 4 seed now, maybe you face Boston. Either way, in the second round, you're going to face one of the top teams generally. And the Sixers, Knicks, Bucks, Celtics, I would say are the top 4, right? However you want to rank it. We'd probably consensus, all due respect to Cleveland, like consensus, and even Miami, like they didn't earn it, Miami, in the regular season. So I'm tired of them turning it on.
Yeah,
and
me
all.
Too.
So they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt in this conversation. Celtics 1, you want to go Bucks, Sixers 2, 3, Knicks 4, however you want to say it, those are the top 4 teams, and they wouldn't meet normally until the second round of the playoffs.
I know.
That's my issue. So second round would be a different story. You'd be like, all right, well, here you go. You get show your worth now against this top team. You got to be able to beat the good teams. But in the first round?
Well, I mean, to me, it's immaterial. And I know what you're saying, but to me, it's less material like when you play. It's more about how do you match up. And I think the Knicks match up very well.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Tom is in Fork River. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
How are you,
Tommy?
Tom?
Good. Listen, I've been trying to figure out how I could frame this for a while. I have something that I think we all have. I think there's a condition called sports PTSD. And I think what it does is it determines how we look forward to different series, different playoff rounds, things like that. Examples that you would get it from would be, unfortunately, BT, I don't want to bring it up. 2004, the Yankees losing 4 straight to Boston. The Aaron Rodgers injury, the Carlos Beltran knee just buckling. Sal, to you, the 28-0 comeback against Atlanta.
Oh.
I hate to bring it up to you, man, but I think it really determines how we look at series going forward. And it's great that both of you guys are Knicks fans. But I think the way they're both looking at the series has something to do with things that damaged us in the past. Like the Aaron Rodgers thing, every time Soto's up now, I'm like, he's going to get hit because Rodgers went down soon, so is Soto. So I think the Knicks
but
are going
what
to...
Is, I don't disagree with your premise of sports fans having PTSD. However, I don't think that this Knicks team deserves any of that. To me, it's not about them. It's more about the Sixers being better than they are potentially.
Oh no, I agree with you, but I mean whether we wanna accept the PTSD or not, it's going to affect us whether we want it to or not. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't matter. Like we're not gonna look at things logically because we're going to have those flashbacks of just gloom and doom. That's just my opinion. I don't know if it's true or not, but as a Jets fan, man, like Man, I got PTSD all over the freaking place from those clowns.
I don't
you know?
Get wrapped up in that. Maybe a little bit with the Jets. I hear you. There's scars. Thanks for the call there, buddy. Appreciate it. There's definitely some scars that we wear. And I think conversely, even though you mentioned that Yankees collapse is the biggest one ever, 2004 against the Red Sox, I think it works both ways. When you're generally used to winning, you know, there's an air of confidence or arrogance or a baseline of expected achievement. That could be a good thing. It could be some wind at the sails. And then when you're, you know, the Jets or the other Mets, the teams that historically struggle, you kind of think, well, maybe here comes the worst here. The Knicks are somewhere in the middle, because when they're good, going back to Pat, they're really good. And when they're bad, they're unwatchably bad. But this team, to me, stripping away all the PTSD and all the other stuff that the caller alluded to, and many of the things that you guys are thinking, I evaluate this Knicks team on this level. Are they good? Are they well coached? Yes. Do they have a star? Yes. Superstar? Yes. Do they have depth? Yes. Do they play modern basketball, meaning, you know, the 3 points, blah, blah, blah? Yes. Are they resilient? No doubt. Look at all the injuries. 50 wins tells you that they are. Can they beat Philly? Yes. Can they beat Miami? Yes. Can they lose to Philly and Miami? Yes. I get it.
Paul is calling from Jersey Shore. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. Doing long time. This is the first time in 11 years I've been able to get through to any of these shows. I listen about 8 hours a day. So thank you for taking my call, number one. Number two, the Knicks. There's a reason why everybody doesn't think about the Knicks as a top-tier team, and you guys just touched on it. Because they are so deep, and they don't have that one. Besides Brunson, like you know, as they don't have an Embiid and Maxey, whereas they have a whole deep 10, 11, 12-man rotation. They do not have to worry about foul trouble. They have a ton of shooters. They play defense like a top-three team all year. If you guys remember, when Brunson went down 38 seconds into the Cleveland game, they had no Brunson, no Julius Randle, no OG Anunoby, no Mitchell Robinson, and they handled Cleveland. What does that tell you? If the Sixers doesn't have Maxey or Embiid on the floor, they lose.
Yeah, but they are going to have those guys on the floor.
I mean, I understand that, but when they can't play, they're not going to play every minute of the whole game.
They're going to play the majority of it, though, Paul. And if I like your premise that you're right, the Knicks are deep, and thank you for the call. The Knicks are deeper. And BT, you talked about this before. We talked about it together, and then, of course, we had Spike in. I think if the Knicks match up with the Philadelphia 76ers, we're going to find out the battle of is going to be top-heavy that wins in the postseason or the depth. Because the Sixers are top-heavy with the two players with Embiid and Maxey, not obviously the two best players in the series, but two of the three best players in the series. Knicks have their superstar, but then a bunch of depth. What will play out in the postseason? Embiid or Maxey, who could take the game over, versus one guy who could take the game over? What if they shut Brunson down, the Sixers do, or slow Brunson down? Can anybody else step up? Or is it going to be the depth that carries the Knicks? I think it'll be a fascinating matchup.
You know what's I do too. You know what's interesting? A lot of people, I've done this as well. You referenced the 2004 Pistons with Chauncey and Rip and those Ben Wallace, great defensive player of the year that season. But I don't know if it's as accurate a comparison as some people think, because while Billups was a big shot maker, he's called Mr. Big Shot. And Rip was one of the best mid-range shooters of all time, Rip Hamilton. Jalen Brunson is playing at a higher level than anybody did on that team. He just is. So I feel like it's not properly positioned. Like, the Knicks are very unique because they don't have two superstars. They have one. And the one superstar that they have is not universally yet received by everybody as a true superstar. So we're going to get a lot of answers, man.
Right.
We're going to get a lot of answers fast.
And we're also going to get, as we come up on the other side, BT and Sal on the fan, we're also going to get some answers to BT's wild weekend.
Dude, this was one of the worst weekends I've ever had.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, I didn't know how much you wanted to get into it. Otherwise, I would have got into it earlier. I figured, let's stay away from the big guy. I don't want to upset him today. But we'll get into that coming up on the other side. BT's wild weekend. And we'll continue with your calls, of course, whatever it is that you want to discuss. Knicks, Mets, Doc Gooden, Yankees, and Soto. We've talked about it all. You can check it all out on the free Odyssey app in case you missed anything. Download the podcast versions. But we'll continue the conversation and get BT's.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Weekend coming up on the other side.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's a Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field-level tickets. See the Bronx Bombers against Tampa Bay at Yankee Stadium on Sunday, April 21st. Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees. Box office blitz and The Fan. Listening to them all at the same time for another chance to win. All right, BT, so what the hell is going on here? I know you had a busy weekend. When we last left, I was saying good luck. You know, DeKins had her tournament. Colt had his thing. What? How did it turn to disaster?
Dude, so I'm driving. So it was more with Colt. I'm in the car with Colt. We're going, it's about 2 hours and 15 minutes away down south in Jersey for a baseball tournament, right? It's one of these things where you play two games and then they do pool. And then based on how you do, you come back, you play Sunday, single elimination, blah, blah, blah. Everybody goes through this, right? So we're driving and we're on the highway, most of it, turnpike. I don't even know what street I'm on. And I guess the red light goes green. I'm kind of stopped and I start going like 3, 4, 5 miles an hour, getting ready to go. And I'm 15 minutes from the field. And then all of a sudden, bang, dude, I got absolutely smashed from behind, right?
Hmm.
So not only did it scare the hell out of me, which, you know, and I know I'm not the only one in a car accident. Trust me, I'm not unique in that regard. But I haven't gotten in one in a long time. And it's, you forget how scary it is and how jarring it is. Like, everything changes. The first thing, Colt's in the back, and he's okay. Thank God. I'm hurt. Like, I'm not even going to bore you with what I got. I think something happened to my back. I'm not even going to bore you with it. I got to go to doctors, whatever. But I get out of the car.
Lawsuit. Here
well,
we go.
I don't even want to think about that, dude. No, I just
well,
want.
I'm saying.
You know what I want? I want a car that I can have for more than 3 months. Think about what I went through with the flood. Okay, I'm not even going to say the brand of the car, but I get my new SUV 3 months ago. I get flooded out. I got to go through the whole process, and it is a process of, you know, is it recoverable? Is it completely damaged and destroyed? And then the insurance and then the car company and the car that I have. This sucks. Doesn't do loaners unless you're actually doing maintenance. So I got to get a rental car, which I did for the flooded car. And then Saturday, so we get into this accident, and now that's gone, and I've got to go through the situation again of figuring out loader, because it's an accident. They still don't do the loader. It's crazy. But Sal, I jump out of the car. Once I know Colt's okay, I jump out of the car, and I sent you guys the picture. Like, the car behind me is a lot worse than mine, but mine was inoperable because it got hit so hard that I'm not a car guy, so I forget what part of the car was pushed into the back tire. But I'm thinking now, automatically, once I know that my son's okay, I'm like, all right, we got to beat the field. We're 15 minutes away. I'll do the insurance stuff. I'll get on my way. I'll go watch baseball. No, it's never that simple. When I jump, I actually got really scared. It was an old woman, and she's like, she's the one who hit me. And because I jump out of the car first, like, mad. Like, you know, what are you doing? Are you on your stupid phone? Like, how do you do that at a red light? It makes no sense. She wasn't paying attention. But once I found out it was an old woman, everything changes. So now, the way her car was kind of smashed, her door only opens a little bit. It's like jammed. So she's wincing. She's crying. I take her seatbelt off. They talk about adrenaline, and I haven't had a real adrenaline surge like that in a long, dude, I basically ripped her car door off the hinges to get her out. She gets out. Now, within 5 minutes, please, everybody's there.
Then did you yell at her for hitting you?
No, not at all, man. Of course. No, she was really, she was on the floor. Like, she had to go to the hospital.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she was. I just pray to God that she's okay. That's why when you say lawsuit, I wouldn't even think about doing that. But so now I'm like, okay, all right. So how do I get him to once I know he's fine, and eventually I'll be fine. How do I get him to the field? Well, now his coach comes to get him because they're 15 minutes away. They take him. He is a wreck. He's shake. He was supposed to pitch. They're like, you're not pitching the first game. All he kept asking was, is my dad coming? Where's my dad? Where's my dad? Where's my dad? I sat there in a town in New Jersey, 2.5 hours from my home in New Jersey. I have no idea where I am. And the tow truck company, and I'm not blaming them. Dude, they come 2 hours and 15 minutes after I call. I missed the entire first game. And here I am. I'm nowhere near home. I'm like, what do I do? Do I Uber? Because it's a club team, so not many people, nobody lives in the neighborhood. You know what I mean? It's not like it's a travel team where I got 10 kids who live 5 minutes from me. It's the exact opposite. Dude, what a disaster. And then I get a call this morning. Well, the tow truck company, they dumped your car off at the wrong spot. I have no idea what's going on. I got no car.
Is that why you're not here today?
Yes.
Oh, man. What a brutal. Brutal.
What do you think? Why else would I not be there today?
I have no idea. I mean, you know, so just checking in, making sure. With Spike leaving soon in the transition, maybe I could be acting PD here for a few hours. Just checking in to see where you're at. Did they win the games at least? Did Colt play well?
They won the first two games. They wound up getting knocked around by a really good team on Sunday. That doesn't matter. Did he play well? He played fine. I don't think he played well. I think he was a mess. I think he was really, he was scared, man.
I could understand, though, the frustration because you're looking forward to going to see the games, then you get sit there for 2 hours wasting time until this stuff gets resolved. It's just an annoying.
Well, the war, and thank God I put my foot down because, you know, Jen, who's in real estate, as you know, had to show a home. So the initial plan was, we'll just take Kinsley, my daughter. I'm like, I can't, it's going to be 46 degrees and 20 mile per hour winds. He's playing two games. It's 2 hours there. It's 2 hours back. There's no way. Just find the babysitter. Make it happen. We always find the babysitter when it's time to go to a party, go to dinner. Find some. I don't care if it's $1,000 an hour. Thank God my daughter wasn't with me. Sal, I'll tell you what. We'll get back to the show. I'm actually really worried about my back, which sucks.
That bad?
Which sucks. Because anybody who's had, I had a microdiscectomy, which is, it is not that bad. It's not like the fully invasive procedure. But a microdiscectomy, basically, when you hear older people, usually grandmas and grandpas, oh, my sciatica hurts. The sciatica nerve, the reason it hurts is when the gel in between the discs, the vertebrae.
Hold on. I think I'm dozing here.
I'm just telling you. Okay. So now I am feeling exactly what I felt before I had the microdiscectomy. Not to mention my shoulders dracked up. Like, I'm actually in pain.
Are you, like, can you sit for, I don't know, say 4 hours at a time?
Well, I mean, I'm sitting here in between each break. I'm getting up and I'm walking around my house, bored out of my mind. I'm usually, you know, messing around with you and Hoff. And
you're going to do you need extended time off and let me hold down fort for a while?
No, I'm here today. I don't miss, unless
baseball
I'm
baseball season, they'll bring back King Cullen if you're...
Who?
Well, all kidding aside, I'm glad the Colt is good to go. Hopefully you're okay with your back. Hopefully that woman is, not worse.
I'm just hoping she has good insurance.
That's what. All right, BT and Sal. Dude, that sucks. I know you sent this text. I felt bad for you. I thought my weekend was rough just hanging out with the wife and kid all day. And you had her. BT and Sal.
You took him to the Mets game. Although they wanted to leave. Now, can I just say this? Yes. I don't want to sound like that jerk.
Yep.
There are so many worse things in the world. This is a minor inconvenience, which to me right now seems massive. But trust me, I get it. Perspective, grand scheme, it's nothing.
Yeah, and we'll get back to the calls here in a second. 877-337-6666. You have those life-changing moments we all go through, whatever it is. Some really severe, some minor inconveniences, some whatever. But it changes things, and unfortunately you dealt with that over the course of the weekend.
Yeah.
Gino is calling from the Jersey Shore. What's up, Gino?
Yeah, hey guys. Yeah, I'm an Uber driver at the shore here, and thanks for getting me through every day. I really like listening to you go at it.
Appreciate that. Have you ever driven Snooki?
No.
Oh.
Hey, by the way, Sal, Gina, hold on. Do you know that Snooki literally lives like 7 houses away from Tiki?
You know that? You think he'd introduce us or something? I mean, I'm such a huge fan, and Tiki's just like, whatever. I can't believe he's neighbors with Snooki.
Yeah.
Have you met her, BT? You were partners with Tiki all those years.
I have not met her. I've met a lot of other people, but not her, no.
You mean other Jersey Shore people?
Tiki knows. I just haven't met
Snooki.
Her.
All right.
No, I did not hang out with this situation.
Okay. All right, anyway, go ahead, Gino. Sorry.
Yeah, I knew that because I know people live on Tiki Street. Yeah. Anyhow, I want to say I'm a Knicks, Ranger, Met, Giant fan. I'm 68 years old. You know, I got to see the 69 and the 73 Knicks win those championships with Marv Albert on the mic and the crowd yelling, defense, defense. It was awesome. And this team, to me, is the best team since then. You know, and Rangers too. You know, I'm so psyched. I am so glad that you guys have so much to talk to. I mean, like this is sports utopia in New York right now.
You know, you're not kidding, Gino. We have the thank you for the call. We have the Yankees looking like a machine. The Mets getting back into the season here, BT, with winning 3 straight series against good teams.
Yep.
The Knicks and Rangers, I just saw on SNY, first time that each team has won 50 games in the same season since 93-94, getting set to embark on the postseason. Throw the Islanders in there, and then the Jets unveiling their new uniforms. I mean, when's it going to stop?
It's not. You left out the NFL draft. The Giants very well might mess around, though. I don't really think they will, but they could mess around and get their quarterback in the future, or at least try to. The Knicks have a good spot. You can get this tight end from Georgia. You can do all sorts of things. I love the new Jet uniform drop, by the way.
It's an old uniform. Well, it's a throwback. Does anybody celebrate the release of new uniforms more than the Jets? I mean, every year, Woody Johnson, after the Super Bowl goes final, seconds after, I got a surprise for you, Jet fans. Here's another new uniform. Yeah, I mean, it's nice, but I mean, geez, it's a uniform.
What else do we have to celebrate?
Yeah, it's
nothing.
Well, join the party of New York sports. So everybody else is getting involved, and the Jets are worried about their stinking uniforms.
I love them. They're fresh. They're old, but they're fresh. I always like those.
Agreed. I do agree that I actually like the uniform. It's just it seems like the Jets are releasing them. The Jets have released more uniforms in the last, decade than they have been in playoff games.
That's not a bit of a problem.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This happened. You talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets, for the first time in 15 years, are champions of the National League.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. We've been talking a lot of Knicks today, also a little Mets, a little Yankees. We did the Doc Gooden stuff and some Yankee stuff from Soto and the Yanks' dominance again over the weekend. Anything you might have missed, check it out on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, so let's get a little bit more into your Mets here. I got to take the temperature or something. So we know the record and we know how they got here. It's impressive because they looked so inept and so flat and broken to start the season. I didn't think they'd get here this quick. I didn't think they'd regenerate, if they did at all, this fast. So props to them. You guys have beaten a lot of good teams. And I don't know if this is the case, but you could probably do a deeper dive, and I think it would point out favorably to the Mets that they've beaten. You know, they probably have the toughest schedule out of the chute. Milwaukee's 10-4. Detroit's 9-6. The Reds are 9-6. The Braves, they're 9-5, but we all know they're better than that. Kansas City's 10-6, and you guys have handled biz from this point where it looked really bad. But is it a little offset to you by the fact that while they didn't drown, the NL looks a lot more competitive than maybe you thought coming into the season? I'm talking about big picture wild card stuff. The Central, basically everybody's over 500. How do you process, you know, the way the Mets are playing now versus the rest of the state of the NL?
Truthfully, I don't worry about what's going on with the rest of the NL, with the rest of the National League, or really any other teams. I've never, and that's just been a philosophy of mine, that I don't worry about what the other teams are doing. If I'm watching the team of the talk, you know, whatever the talking point is, whether it's the Knicks, whether it's the Mets or Yankees, I can't get concerned with that because you generally, BT, you'll know what a playoff team looks like. And as long as the Mets are in the conversation, now, doesn't mean that they're going to be a playoff team. If you think that they are, no. But, you know, in other words, I watch this team and say, okay, you know what? They're good enough. Same thing with the Knicks. You watch the team and say, this team, Brunson is a superstar. They are good enough. And then here we are at the end of it, and they're the number two seed. If I watch this Mets team the majority of the year and say, hey, you know what? They look good. They could be a playoff team. Forget about the standings. Generally, those things work themselves out. You would have said on paper, as would have I, oh, they're probably going to lose to the Reds. They're going to get dominated by the Braves, and the Royals are red hot. They're going to lose to them too. And yet they go in and take two out of three. So that, to me, shows that the Mets are on par or on track with being one of the better teams in the National League. I know what you're saying, but I don't even look at the standings early on. First, the Mets got to get back to 500, but the fact that they're 7-8 after an 0-5 start, I mean, I'm actually shocked by it. And you know what I love more than anything? That they're playing baseball. Meaning, you remember the first six games, even with the one win. Like, the games were...
That's gross.
Dude,
that's gross.
You couldn't... They weren't getting any hits. It was just awful. Yeah. Now, at least, even when they're losing games, guess what? They're playing baseball. Meaning, they score some runs. All right, maybe they give up some runs, whatever. But they're playing games that are watchable. Win some, lose some. Even the best teams lose a ton of games throughout the course of the year. But it is something to, you know, be enjoyed when you actually watch a game. And the Mets are giving us a season and certainly giving us some games. I don't care how they're getting it done. They've done it now where they're 7-8 winning series here the last three series. series.
I think that's a good way to do it. I like that. You get too wrapped up in the other stuff. You know, you maybe lose sight of what's in front of you.
Especially now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's smart. A little bit all indoor. All right. So the Met fans did what Steve Cohen, you know, implored them to do. And they gave him a great ovation, really all weekend, but certainly the first game. And I was paying attention to that. I was very curious how what the Met fans would do, how Lindor would play. Now, all right, he's raised the average from 098 to 129. All right, baby steps. You're not going to be hitting 270, you know, in a weekend. But I feel like a little bit of the Lindor, I'm not trying to bury him here, but I just want to, you know, be fair to what went down. I mean, it's not like he went bonkers this weekend. He was 3-for-11 with no extra base hits, and you know, and an uptick in the average. And I thought, as always, because he's always classy.
No, he's still struggling.
He's still struggling here. So, like, where, I mean, if he has a substandard season, no matter what the Mets have been doing so far, it's going to level off because he's got to join the party. Do you think that he's going to have a good season?
I still think so. Yeah, I mean, it's still only April 15th. Now, you know, again, we're talking about we're midway through the first month of the season, and he's still scuffling. First, let me just say that I was very happy and proud of Met fans, very happy for and proud of Met fans for doing the right thing. We talked about this during the course of last week. I felt like this was something Lindor earned. Give him some encouragement. And they did that, and you heard what he said afterward. It filled my heart, and this is where I want to be, blah, 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 blah. Okay, now that we've established that the Met fans don't, in fact, hate Francisco Lindor, They showed him the love. Now, he should understand that now he's got to get going. It didn't work over the course of the weekend. He was up in big spots, did not get it done. Again, yesterday, pop it up with the bases loaded. All right, whatever. He's got to get it going. Now, I think he will because he's a notorious slow starter, but also produces consistently. The numbers are there at the end of the year. He's got to get going. And at some point, this team's season is going to depend on it. They are not good enough everywhere else to overcome Lindor hitting .120. He's got to produce. He's got to be their second best run producer on the team, or at least, you know, one of the top run producers on the team. I think he will, but I mean, at some point, BT, it's going to run out where, you know, mid-May, I can't be saying, oh, I think he's going to get it going any moment now.
Yep.
But it's still too early enough for me to declare that Lindor's toast, especially even if it's for just one season.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I still have the grave concerns about his ability to perform from the left side in particular. But it was good. I mean, it was a feel-good weekend. You mix in the Doc stuff. I know we mentioned that a few times. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. The weather wasn't great yesterday to start. You know,
yeah,
it turned out
to be beautiful. By the way,
I mean, eventually, yeah.
Did you see the picture that I sent you, the Lindor thing? I sent you guys in the group text. Hoff, you were on that too.
I was so with the craziness. No, this was. I think I missed it.
I'm pretty sure I sent it to you Friday night, maybe Saturday morning.
Let me go back to our thread.
Because a listener sent it to me on social media. He goes, "Sal, you were right." Because remember, I was talking about Lindor, one of his hands, and I was like,
"Oh,
no.
Yes."
I go, "No, it's got to be his bottom hand because it didn't look right to me." I remember seeing that over the course of the years.
Yes.
And then
yes.
He had an egregious one the other day that the fan took a picture of and sent it to me. Dude, something is up with that. There's no way your bottom hand should be coming off the bat like that. You see that picture?
Well, I'm looking at it now, and I do remember you sending me this. Yeah, I don't know that I reacted to it. I usually do, but I just didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, and we've seen that a few times. I think it's really amplified in this picture.
Right, it's egregious in that picture, but the point is, and they were saying, I think they said on the broadcast, or somebody said his hand slipped off, but that happens quite a bit where, yes, if your top hand comes off, that's natural. When your bottom hand comes off from a lefty swing.
No, that's weird. That's weird.
And BT, the point is now, again, that picture was exaggerated. It happened, but it was exaggerated. But the point is, I've noticed this over the years with Lindor because it's just not normal. You just don't see that.
Well, my first reaction, and there's been some unique styles of hitting. Like, I don't know if you remember the name Charlie Lau. He was a renowned hitter, and Walt Riniak. Like, they were hitting coaches who, in the 80s and beyond, they stressed the one-handed swing, the elongated follow-through, blah, blah, blah. But that's never really been Lindor. And I thought, when I first saw this picture, I'm like, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe his hand is jacked up. But there's been enough evidence before this picture that you sent us that I don't have an answer. He could be
holding it too long. Now, again, I'm not trying to... Believe me, I'm not trying to tell Francisco Lindor how to hit.
Yeah.
Although I think right now he'd probably take any advice he could get. But something is off when you're just... You've watched a million games in your life, and you know when you see something abnormal. And that was the feeling that I had with Lindor, with that bottom hand coming off a tick too early.
Yep.
And in that, it just came off way... And look, the fact that he can't hit from the left side right now... Yeah. Again, I'm not trying to add the two. I'm just showing you what somebody sent me to validate what I was talking about, his bottom hand coming off early. Point is, right now, he's lost. He's got to get going.
It's an interesting observation. I mean, that's not a normal, natural swing. Right. So my next question about Lindor, and I remember asking you this on Thursday and Friday, because we both surmised that the Met fan would do that, that they would rise to their feet and they would try to encourage him. I didn't know what kind of crowd they'd have. I really thought Met fans would get behind that, and props to them for doing it. But now, like, what's the next step? There's a finish line of how long Met fans will just, you know, cheer him and try to get him going if the results aren't there. So that's why
I think the next step has to be apathy. As much as that sounds weird, I don't think it was important for me to see the fans and Lindor create that bond. Mm-hmm. And they did that. They showed him love, which I think he needed. He reciprocated with his words. Now, we should all understand, specifically Lindor, that it's about performance. However, I don't think the Met fans can cross the line to booing right away. Now, if he stinks throughout the course of this year, there's going to be frustrations. I would think it'd just be more frustration from fans being like, we tried, whatever, it's disappointing, rather than the vitriol that we've seen in, you know, years past, or even, you know, a month ago, whatever it may be. I think it's just apathy. I think some more encouragement along the way. If he doesn't get it going, BT, he doesn't get it going. Nothing you can do about that.
Well, I don't. Apathy is not the word that I would lean for. I think, really, quite frankly, it could hit either end of the spectrum. You know, even though he didn't go crazy this weekend, he left a few men on base, as you said, three hits, no extra base hits, whatever. You know, he's either going to get hit, you know, start start cranking out hits and looking like Lindor that you guys need and that, you know, expect, or he's not. And, you know, there will be no apathy if Pete Alonso's doing his job and he's cranking out bombs now. And, you know, Beatty shows signs and Alvarez shows signs and Nimmo, you know, like, if Lindor's the reason why the Mets offense is scuffling and not whole this year.
You think fans are going to boo him again?
Absolutely. I'm not saying right away, but there is absolutely an expiration point. He's not a young kid. He's making $340 million. You're not going to sit up there and just blindly cheer if he's hitting 179 in late May.
You don't have to blindly cheer. That's why I said apathy.
Sal, when do we have apathy in this city?
Yeah, well, when you've reached this point, like the Met fans now crossed that line and did their job.
Yes.
This is now off the backs, because I'm tired of hearing about it, whether it's from the teams themselves, from the players. Oh, New York is so difficult. Oh, the fans boo it. Like, I'm tired of hearing that. Now that is gone from Lindor's case with the Met fan. No excuses. Met fans did their part. They acknowledged the fact that you've sucked, but they're still going to show you some love and give you encouragement. Now it's on him to do his job. If he doesn't, I'm fine with whatever fans do, but I feel like once you cross that line, you can't go back to... Now, they can do whatever they want, obviously. Me, personally, I would just move on as opposed to start booing somebody. You just throw your hands up and say, look, we did what we could do. He's just not going to get it. It's just not working for you.
I think that you can have that attitude with a menial player or somebody who's young and or way past their prime, and it's like, all right, listen, he's kind of shot. He's not what he was. And then I think apathy, or at least the realization of, no matter what we do, this ain't changing. But no way. I think with Francisco Lindor, if he does not step up and meet this head, I know he's trying. Trust me, I know he is, and he's saying the right things. I think he's got a great heart, and I know he wants to reciprocate the love through production to the Met fan base. But if he does not, there is no way the Met fan will be apathetic. He's too important to the team.
Yeah,
the next step is you got to drop him in the order.
Well, but that's the next step. Those are different things, and maybe they will. But I can't imagine the fans, after showing them love like that, turning around and booing him, especially not right away. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back, take more of your calls on the other side.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.